We are continuing in the series, words that we just don't like. And someone gave me the word fear. Now, I don't know who it was, and it's really not important. Someone gave me the word diverse last week, and they came and told me who they were. And well, thanks. But I think fear is one of the things that keeps the majority of people from doing anything. And I think it might be depicted really well in this story I read this week, that there were these two guys, and they were in this hospital, and they tried to check themselves out, and they couldn't get out. And so anyway, they decided they were just going to, hey, go ahead and escape. And so they climbed up to the roof and looked around and saw the city, and they saw that just a little short distance across from where they was with another building that had a fire escape that they could go down. So the first guy jumped across the fire escape, jumped across the building, and he landed over there. And second guy was afraid. He said, I'm afraid I'll fall. I don't know what to do. Well, the first guy that already jumped, he said, I got an idea. He said, I got a flashlight. I'll tell you what, he said, I'll shine it along here and you walk along the light and you won't fall. And the guy said, what do you think, I'm crazy? You'll turn the light out. And so I think, that was supposed to be funny. I think, you know, turn the light out, fall down, no beam. Okay, we'll go somewhere else. But I think that is and for you that laughed, thank you. But I think that's maybe one of the greatest concerns of people. Is fear and afraid to do anything. And we look at the scripture that Sally read, and God had led the children of Moses, the children of Israel, by Moses' guidance out of Egypt, out of bondage, where they were making bricks all day. And they complained, and while they were there, they complained because they didn't have enough straw to make bricks. All they did was complain, and they'd finally got here to just about where they were to enter into the promised land. And God says to them through Moses, I'm old. I can't go any further. Well, if you remember back in Numbers, and I think it was chapter 10 or 12, where God had told him as a result of his disobedience by throwing the Ten Commandments down and destroying the word, the law that God had given to him, that he would not see the promised land. So he was saying to them, we're gonna find another leader. We're going to raise another leader. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be concerned about. And so what we see here is God's promises are not dependent upon one person. They're dependent upon a God who said that he would keep his word. And so he said to Joshua, as he had said to the people there, he said, be strong, be courageous. He said, God will bring you the victory. One of the interesting things that I think when you look at the passage that Sally read was, God did not tell Joshua that he was to go in and take the land. He said, lead my people into the land. And I always thought that was, you know, was part of taking it. Part of that leadership was taking it. But Sally read that God said that he would go before them and take the land. In other words, he's going to prepare anyone or anything for what he wants us to do prior to our doing it. It's not about us taking the land. It's about us being willing to follow. Because he did say, I will never leave you, or I'll never forsake you. I'll never lead you down a path that there doesn't have a way out, that there's no way to find your way out. The writer of Deuteronomy says, said that he encourages people to step out in faith, not live in fear. And I know there's a lot of things that people live in fear. today, but what he's asking us to do is simply do what he's laid before us, no matter what he did, what he's done. And that one command that he said, fear not. There's someone, Arthur by the name of Lloyd Ogilvy, said that there are 366 fear not verses in the Bible. One for every day, including leap year. That's amazing when you stop and think about it. 366 verses every day. God is saying, fear not. Don't worry, don't get excited. And I know people's lists of fears are endless. There are people scared to fly. I used to, when I was working, and we lived in St. Louis, and we had a sales conference in Las Vegas. Great place to have a sales conference. And when you've got a bunch of district managers that are on subsidy, which is money the company's paying but taking it to a place to gamble, bad decision. But this one guy, Vince, I never will forget Vince. He must have had 6 or 7 Bloody Marys that morning before he could get on the plane because he was scared to fly. And I'm sure he has no idea when we took off. And Vince had no idea when we landed. But we got there safe. Some people are scared of heights. But God did say, for lo, I am with you always. Some people are scared of mice. Some people are scared of all kinds of creepy animals and things that you see. Someone once said, the number one fear is public speaking. It's right up there with snakes. I have a greater fear of snakes than I do public speaking. Public speaking doesn't bother me. Some people fear cancer. It's a legitimate disease that we see today. Some people fear poverty and afraid that God will not be able to provide for them and take care of them. Especially if I lose the only way I have to provide for my family. Some people are fearful of growing old. Some people are fearful of loneliness. Some people are living today that are married or lonely, that are unhappy, that are miserable. On and on it goes. Fear of being insignificant. Some of the gray, the lesser ones of fears or anxiety and worry. I got over worry a long time ago. But it's one of those basic fears and basic problems that people have. And that was the thing, if we look back, that was the very first thing that was shown in the fall of man was fear. And we might think it was pride. But if we look back at the story, I'm condensing my message, but if we look back at the story of Adam and Eve, and when God came, I sound pretty good, don't I? When God came looking for them in the garden, and he said, Adam, where are you? And what did Adam say? I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. We weren't the first ones to be afraid. Sometimes it can seem like a long wait, waiting for God to deliver us from what the concerns are, the things in the world that we deal with, the sin around us, the problems that we face, the problems that other people face. Sometimes it seems like God has abandoned us. The surgery that we had will never heal. It just seems to take forever and forever. The loneliness that's there is just never alleviated. It never goes away. The habits that continue to bind us and hold us, we just can't break them. And we think God has abandoned us. Depression that people suffer and live with, it just won't go away. But he told the children of Israel, he said, be courageous, be strong, fear not. said, "For I am with you." And he said, "Don't hesitate in anything that you're going to do." And there were three things, I think, that what he was saying to the Israelite children, he's saying to us today. The first one is, fear not, because I have redeemed you. We have hope for tomorrow. What Sally read today, Timothy didn't need new revelations of what to do. He didn't need new instructions. He didn't need new truths. All he had to do was go do what Paul had told him to do, what Paul had taught him to do. And it's that kind of faith that proclaims that no matter what the situation that we're in, God says, fear not. Don't be concerned about tomorrow. Don't even be concerned about today. I have given you and will give you everything that you need. God's spoken. If God's spoken, it's going to happen. There's no way that it cannot happen. And we might sit around and we look and what he told Isaiah, and we might question this, but he said to Isaiah, he said, "I've given an entire nation for you, Egypt, Cush, Seba, and others, so I could form you into my own special nation. And I've exchanged thousands of people for you. Whoever has gotten in your way of making you into my own special people." What we see there is God has said that if I had to destroy people to take care of you, I'll do it. If I have to destroy people to make your path smoother, I will do it. And then we look back and we have the benefit of looking back from this side of the cross to see what Jesus has done. And as we stop and think about the ransom that he paid the greatest ransom that anyone could ever pay in giving up his son for us. And so as Christians, we are redeemed. We have no reason to be concerned. The second thing is he says, "I've summoned you by name." And we look around and we think, yeah, we're all Christians. But as I look around, he said, "Come home, Doug, you're mine. Come home, Wanda, you're mine. Something special. Something unique. Don't be afraid." He said, "I've summoned you. I've called you." Yeah, the journey to the promised land is not easy. It has challenges. It has things that will create problems. It has rocks that we had to climb over. Sometimes it has trees that we have to move out of our way. But he's proclaimed it. And he said it's ours. John 1:10 said, "I give them eternal life and no one can snatch them out of my hand. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than me and greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand either." That's what he meant when he said that. He's redeemed us. He's called us by his name. And he said, "Fear not, I am with you." We're on a journey. We're on a journey home. When we leave here today, we're all going to go to some earthly house. But to the Christian, our journey is not just to that home on Hanover Way or wherever it is. It's a journey to heaven, and it's a path that he's laid out for us. And I thought about the book that was written by John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress, when this individual by the name of Christian, and Christian leaves the city of destruction in search for his celestial city. And all along the way, he encounters a lot of obstacles. The first thing he encounters is the slough of despondent. Despondency, or the slough of despond. It's where all the fears and doubts about his salvation are. And then he gets out of that and he goes on and he runs across some guy by the name of Mr. Worldly Wisdom, who directs him down the smoothest path. It's a wide path. No one can get in his way. No one can interfere with his trip. Then after he gets out of that, he ends up in another detour that he's at. He climbs this hill of difficulty. And as he climbs the hill, he sweats and he struggles. And he passes people that turned around and going the other way because they didn't want to pay the price to climb the hill. So he's left to struggle all his own. And he wonders, how can he expect to make it when all others have failed? The difficulty seemed too great to handle. And I read this and I shared it, and I share it with you in closing. I actually checked in on Facebook this morning and put this, but when we pass through the waters of life, and it's not when, and it's not if, but we all will. And there will be all things that we come through, and God has said, fear not, I will be with you. I will be with you in the cataract surgery. I will be with you when your son's looking for a job. I will be with you when you find out that your mother has cancer. I will be with you when you pray for that friend that's in the hospital. I will be with you, Sandy, when you have your knee surgery. I will be with Lee whenever. But he's saying, I will be with you. No need to fear. No need to worry. He said, I held back the Jordan River. And as we get close to sometimes those floods of life that comes into us, we may struggle, but they won't wash us away. And we may get wet. We may get soaked. We may freeze a little if the water gets to us. He said they may threaten to drown you. May threaten to just totally take away everything that you have. But they won't wash you away. For I am with you. Fear not. His grace will lead us home. The prayer we prayed earlier is the first step to heading home. He said, I've redeemed you. I've called you by your name. And I am with you forever. May God bless you.